Are you your creamy mac and cheese all the way?
I mean, really, I can go any. Like, if we want to go heavy breaded, we don't want to go nuts with all the different ingredients. Like, you know, right. there's, you know, I've seen like bacon and stuff like that right. thrown in there. Like, to me, like, just give me mac and cheese.
Hey, everybody, I'm Chef Tim Lopez. I work as a line chef and first cook at the Eagles NovaCare in South Philadelphia. And this show is about taking a look at football through the foods that we all love. We're going to talk with players, coaches, chefs, and celebrities about the food culture of our team and our Eagles community. This is Feeding the Birds.
Hey, everybody, Chef Tim Lopez back with you again for Feeding the Birds podcast. It's our final episode of the season. Aww. Well, I'll tell you what, it's been an amazing season for me. So on our final episode today, we have our own Fran Duffy joining us. Fran is on-air talent for the Philadelphia Eagles, as well as being a production manager. He's got two podcasts you can get wherever you find podcasts, Eagle Eye in the Sky and Journey to the Draft. So I've known him for several years, and we're going to just literally take apart cheesesteaks and discuss them from top to bottom, delve into some mac and cheese and some breakfast conversation. Really good times. We also have an interview with Stephanie Coppola. She's our Gatorade Sports Nutrition Program intern for the 2018-2019 season, and she's going to fill us in a little bit on how the fuel bar worked this year and some things she put into practice down there for our athletes. So let's just kick it off to our interview with Fran Duffy. All right, everybody, I'm sitting down with somebody that I see all the time in the Philadelphia Eagles NovaCare Complex cafeteria. Try saying that five times fast. Good friend of mine. I've known him for many years. We have with us today Fran Duffy. He's been with the team for eight seasons. He is a production manager and on-air talent for the Philadelphia Eagles, Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast, and the Journey to the Draft. Fran, welcome to Feeding the Birds.
Dude, what an honor. I'm excited. If there's one thing that I can talk about ad nauseum outside of football, it's food. So I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, me too. Because when I started this, I could talk ad nauseum about food, and it's starting to become ad nauseum about football.
That's right.
So I'm delving into your world. You're delving into my world.
There we go.
It's going to be a solid interview. I've been excited about this one for a while. So Fran is working with the Birds for eight seasons. Tell me, how did you get started here with the Philadelphia Eagles?
So my first training camp was the Dream Team. So I was the first member of the Dream Team, the longest lasting member of the Dream Team.
I got there.
My first training camp was my first day that summer, 2011, and I was a seasonal. You know, I had worked full time with Temple Football for a few years before that, just up Broad Street. So was there full time for 5 years. Came down here, wanted to try to jump into the NFL, and was here for one season on a kind of a prove-it situation. And thankfully, they kept me around, and I've been trying to find my niche ever since.
I think your niche is just fine, man. Anybody who's ever heard any of Fran's stuff, I mean, he does a lot of breakdowns in the videos. He's got the podcast. He writes articles for the website. I mean, this guy knows his stuff.
Thank you, man.
You know?
Appreciate it.
I'm not going to call you Mr. Eagles. I'm sure there's other people out there that might want to take that, but I'm not going to take it, but you definitely know more about this team than I do. But I think the one thing we have in common, as you said, is food.
No question.
So going to do a little bit of your background. We're going to talk about some food you growing up. Born and raised in Cheltenham, PA, right around the corner.
Yep.
All right. Any guilty pleasures or favorites? Maybe mom hooked up when you were a kid. Something that you just remember that even now is your go-to.
So my mom makes homemade stromboli.
Which
are just ridiculous. And that's definitely one of those, like, you know, my sister will send a text, hey, just so you know, mom's making stromboli tonight. And even today, it's like, all right, we'll swing by my mom's, we'll pick up some stromboli. Lasagna. When I was a kid, she used to make meatloaf. I kind of lost my taste for meatloaf as I got older. But being a kid, that was always one of my favorite meals for sure.
Meatloaf, what's your favorite side with the meatloaf? A lot of people say
mashed potatoes.
Absolutely.
Without question.
Absolutely. My mom used to put rice, and I never understood why.
Now
mashed potatoes, mom, if you're listening.
That's
please just stick with the mashed potatoes. Yeah, I'm with you on that. Meatloaf kind of faded into the background for me once I started cooking professionally. It's still a really good comfort food. It's still something that's good, but when you hear it, the meatloaf, there's other things that kind of like, you know, if I hear like Coco Van, or if I hear even cheesesteak, sounds
That's
better
right.
than meatloaf, you know?
So, no question.
No offense to Meatloaf, the singer, but we're obviously in a food vein here. All right, so mom cooked a lot of that stuff.
Yes.
I'm sensing an Italian vein, but you told me before we started, you have Italian, Irish, German, and Polish heritage in your family. So holidays, that had to be like a battle royale at the table. What foods made it to the top of that list?
Well, so both of my parents were 50% Italian. So there was Italian on both sides.
On
of
both
it.
Sides. So all right, so that was covered.
Every holiday, we always had some form of pasta. You know, we did the seven fish dinner for Christmas Eve. You know, we always had something that kind of presented the Italian heritage. But then certain meals, you know, or certain holidays, you know, New Year's was my mom would do the, you know, bratwurst. We would do sauerkraut, you know, that kind of thing. We definitely would mix in other things, but it was definitely primarily Italian. That was definitely where our food menu or our menu kind of leaned more towards when we were growing up.
So Italian kind of just knocked everything else out.
Yeah, I think that was that was definitely the majority.
That's good. That's good. I wish that had been the case with me growing up. My grandmother, love her, God rest her soul, German. Depression-style food.
That's right.
You know, old school. I mean, I've talked about Thanksgiving before in this particular venue, and it was straight turkey and mashed potatoes and gravy, and we never went outside the comfort zone.
Yep.
Somebody told me that you're a huge fan of macaroni and cheese.
And I am a huge fan of mac and cheese.
At Thanksgiving, I talked with a number of players about this, and I talked with a lot of the chefs in the kitchen. Everybody had mac and cheese on the Thanksgiving dinner table. We never had that growing up. I put it on there now because I realize it should be a staple. How do you feel about mac and cheese?
Without question, belongs at Thanksgiving. We've had it. My mom makes a killer mac and cheese. My wife makes a killer mac and cheese. So really, every big dinner, like my wife, if we're going somewhere, she will make mac and cheese and bring it, and it's awesome. My mom, growing up, always did it. So it's that's definitely a staple for sure.
Oh, absolutely, man. Now, are you're creamy mac and cheese all the way?
I mean, really, I can go any. Like, if we want to go heavy breaded, we don't want to go nuts with all the different ingredients. Like, you know, there's, you know, I've seen, like, bacon and stuff like that thrown in there. Like, to me, like, just give me mac and cheese. Just give me the mac, give me the cheese. I'm kind of cut and dry when it comes to stuff like that. But to me, like, in any form, and you guys crush it. Like, that's one of my favorite things. If it's out there in the calf, I'm getting mac and cheese.
There are two guys that stand above in the mac and cheese zone back there in the cafe, and that's Chef Matt Esham and Chef Pee-wee Eugene Williford. Those two guys knock it out of the park with macaroni and cheese. I mean, it's just sick. Any time they're putting out, I think we did a mac and cheese bar a couple weeks ago.
It's ridiculous.
Forget it. The line was around the corner. You know, how could you not? How could you not?
And Pee-wee's been here for forever. So
forever.
So
18 years.
So I got to say that Pee-wee's for sure sticks out in my mind because I know, like, Bone, because Matt's only been here a shorter time, right? Just a couple years. So, you know, I know with Pee-wee, Pee-wee's is excellent.
Yep. I told you, Pee. Everybody loves you, man. Everybody. So I agree. Don't put too much in the macaroni and cheese. Don't screw with it too much. Sometimes people put crab meat in it with some Old Bay. Sometimes people put bacon right into it. I like the toppings on the sides.
Yeah.
I like to be able to kind of like doctor up my mac and cheese, or just give me plain mac and cheese and just let me love it for what it is. You a fan of like different kinds of cheeses in there, or do you just go straight up like cheddar?
I like mixing up the cheeses. Like, I'll throw in like three or four cheeses in there if it's available. And to me, like, I like, you know, we've seen like buffalo chicken mac and cheese. When you guys do the mac and cheese bars and there's crab meat or something like that, like, that's cool. I like it. But just give me just plain mac and cheese. And if it's breaded, I'm good there too. If you get breadcrumbs on top, get those things toasted. Yeah, I'm in on that.
That's
cool,
man.
You know, just plain mac and cheese for me is definitely the go-to.
All right, I'm with you on that. I mean, I can never ignore it if it's
no,
out there, especially on our Fridays. You know, during the season, we got the what they're calling barbecue Fridays or favorite Fridays. You know, the mac and cheese is gonna make an appearance, and everybody just kills it. So
that's a two scoop like trip.
It is a two
that's
scoop.
That's not like half a scoop and that's one big scoop overheaping. Then go in for a second one and maybe come back for a little bit more later.
Do you come back? Do you have any qualms about getting back up and having people see that I'm headed back for another taste? Because I know there's some sandwiches we hook up. Sometimes different steaks or seafood or anything that Matt's hooking up on the action station. Are you a guy that will say, well, you know, everybody is kind of looking at me, I'm not going to go back and get another? Are you just?
I'm not bashful when it comes to that.
Good for you.
To me, like, if it's good, and I always make it a point when you guys make something that's like killer, I will come back and say, like, this chicken was outstanding. Like, this pasta was outstanding. You know, and usually try and figure out, like, who made it.
Right.
But it, you know, you guys do great stuff back there. So every single day, like, we come back and it's, you know, it's funny. Like, people ask all the time, oh, you guys must just talk football all day. And it's like, no, like most of the time, if we're like chit-chatting in our little area, most of the time it's some kind of debate about food, you know, just ranking different foods, coming up with what our different ideas for what the perfect meal should be. Amen. So it's definitely had those discussions and talk about etiquette, trying to get back in line when we go back for seconds. It's always a fun time.
There's two ways to go about it. if you got a table, sometimes I'll see the production crew all sitting down at the same table. They tend to eat together and – You can have a rookie or an intern go up there and grab you some other stuff. I see players do that all the time. I've seen some other departments do that. You can find ways to cut the line. A lot of people use me to do that, where they'll just go, Tim, hey, man, excuse me, another scoop of that.
By the way, right.
So we'll take all comers, man, because that's why we're there. You know, we're there to make you guys happy. It's not always mac and cheese. Obviously, we provide nutrition in there, but I've talked nutrition off everybody's ear on this podcast. We have a lot of talented nutritional people here, like Chef Emily, Stephanie down in the fuel bar, Michael Minish, Josh Hengst. We've covered nutrition.
Yeah.
I want you and I to cover something that has never been covered on this podcast before. We're in the cheese realm. Let's stick with that, and let's talk cheesesteak. It's Philadelphia. It's the Philadelphia Eagles. We haven't dissected cheesesteak. Let's do it right now.
So let me let you know a little secret.
All right.
So high school, you know how you have to do like a senior project? Someone at my high school thought it was okay for me to do my senior project on figuring out what the best cheesesteak in Philadelphia was. And that was my senior project
in
high school.
That was your senior project?
That was my senior project. I traveled all around, and my parents drove me all around the city, and that's all I did for, you know, for a few weeks. I mean, I had to be 20-plus cheesesteak places. And it was little pizza shops to the big brands. I mean, we tried a little bit of everything. So that was a very fun exercise. And I don't know if I could ever try and replicate that and give it an updated list, but it was that was fun times back in the spring of 2004, 2003.
There you go. And what grade did you get on that?
I mean, I graduated, so
okay,
I did
so
enough.
There you go. So he got his diploma based on the cheesesteak.
That's right.
Wanderings that he took in Philadelphia. So we talk cheesesteaks a lot in the cafe. Fran let me know that his current favorite, and if I get this wrong, you're going to correct me, Joe's Steaks.
Yes.
In Taconia.
Yep.
And where exactly is that?
So I'm gonna give you the exact area. It's so I actually, when I was born, in Northeast Philadelphia in Mayfair. And when we grew up there, it was right around the corner. And this place, it was under a different name back then. But now they kind of changed it up. It's now Joe's Steaks and Soda Shop. And, I mean, this place is, first of all, the cheesesteaks are out of this world. Tarsdale Ave in Northeast Philadelphia, Taconi, Port Richmond, whatever neighborhood that is right there.
Right.
The cheese fries are ridiculous. And they've got other stuff on the menu. They do their own milkshakes and stuff like that, too. But you go in, and it's cheesesteak, cheese fries, milkshake, take a nap. Like, you're in good shape there.
As long as you stick to that formula,
you're in
guaranteed
good shape.
A nap.
Yes.
So cure for insomnia, a visit to Joe's.
Without question.
All right. I'm going to do that. I'm going to go there. What makes it the best cheesesteak, in your opinion? Like, let's break down the cheesesteak. Let's take the whole thing apart. What makes a really good cheesesteak?
So, to me, and this was, you know, in trying all those different cheesesteaks out back when I had the metabolism to be able to handle it, it starts with the roll. Like, to me, you have to have the right bread, and that's to me, is the biggest difference. When you go somewhere else and it's like, oh, you know, they've got a Philly steak, like, if they don't get the roll right, you're out of luck. It's got to be a good consistency. It can't be too overcooked, right? It can't be like this crunchy roll that's kind of falling apart and flaking apart on you. But you also want the roll to be small enough where it's not too much bread.
Mm-hmm.
But you also you want it to be able to hold up too. So you got to find like the right, you know, there's companies out there, bakeries that make it the right way. To me, it starts with the bread. Then after that, I think you got to get to the steak, and you know, like a shaved ribeye. I like it nice. I don't like it very finely chopped. A lot of places in the area will do like the very fine. It's almost like minced steak, and they just pack it into the roll. Like, to me, like I think I like a little bit on there. I like a little bit chopped up, you know, enough where it's stringy, but not like completely minced up. And then you get to the cheese part of it. And to me, like, I don't not like onions anymore. Like, when I was a kid, I was anti-fried onions. I don't mind fried onions on cheesesteak. If I do, I only like it a little bit. A lot of people will go nuts with the onions on top. cut the onions out a little bit. But to me, if it's just steak, cheese, and the roll, I'm in good shape.
And Joe's has that in spades, right?
I mean, oh yeah, I mean that's it.
Got it nailed.
And they make the steak to me like perfectly. That's exactly how it should look.
Okay. I've worked with cheesesteak a lot before I even came to Philly, but I didn't realize what I was doing until I came to Philadelphia. When you work in a cafe setting like I work in, especially in this town, you got to make a good cheesesteak.
That's right.
If you're not making a good cheesesteak, I don't think you can call it a Philly cheesesteak. There's a lot of restaurants, dive bars, diners, and you can go and you'll see. And anywhere you go, almost in the entire East Coast, there'll be a Philly cheesesteak on their menu.
The quote-unquote Philly cheesesteak.
I never order it because I've had the Philly cheesesteak. You know, there's I don't see any reason to get somebody else's version of it, especially when they're not going to do it justice.
No question.
The shaved ribeye, I mean, that's how it started back in the day. You know, whoever is going to lay claim to inventing it, it started with that shaved ribeye. It started with the end pieces they had left over. That they would just chop them up right on the flat top, you know, add whatever to it. And it started with provolone. I don't know if you're aware of that, but provolone was number one.
Probably, that's the thing, is like I can go back and forth with, you know, whether it's provolone, American, or Cheese Whiz. Like I can go for Cheese Whiz. In fact, any of the places where they go super chopped up, I almost like need the Cheese Whiz, because then like the Cheese Whiz kind of like seeps into all the nooks and crannies there in the meat. But if it's just finely chopped up, not too bad, then I'm going provolone. That's my go-to.
Because the provolone will drape over and hold it together if it's not that fine chopped cheesesteak.
Yes.
And I'm with you. I need the cheesesteak to be a little bit more, you know, longer. I don't need it to be that finely chopped minced beef.
I agree.
But the Cheese Whiz holds that minced beef product together like, you know, like glue. It keeps it on the bread and
that's
everything.
Right.
So I can go Whiz, but I'm so old school. Provolone, just gotta go provolone.
Now, do you go onions? Provolone. Do you go peppers? Do you
I go onions. They gotta be cooked well
through.
Done.
Oh yeah,
well
right.
done.
I'm with you.
If you give me a cheesesteak and them onions even have a little bit of white to them,
I agree.
I'm putting it back. I'm like, no. I'm like, here's what you do. Before you put my steak on, put the onions on. When they're burnt, put the steak on top of them and chop them into
that's
the meat.
Right.
Not a lot. I don't want to eat an onion with cheesesteak in it. I want to eat a cheesesteak with onion on it. So, now, let's talk about this real quick. We handle Whiz versus slice. We said, obviously, there's a time and a place for either.
Yep.
Okay, we talked about the bread. Pizza steak. Is that something that you do?
Oh.
Some people swear by it.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan. I like a classic cheesesteak.
No, I would say I'm probably not in the pizza steak realm. I don't want to say I'm anti. Like if it's there, like I guess I would have it, but it's definitely not something that I would order myself.
Okay, I'm with you on that. Yeah. I'm with you. I've made a ton of them.
Yeah.
You know, you put long hots? Do you do any hot peppers or anything on a
cheesesteak?
Every
once in a while, if I'm getting a cheesesteak though, like if I'm like, all right, I'm in a mood for a cheesesteak, I'm not getting it with long hots. If it's somewhere, again, like if you guys made it here and it was like, oh, they got long hots on it, I'm not going to turn it down.
Right.
But it wouldn't be something that I would order.
We did a hot roast pork yesterday.
Yep.
In homage to John's roast pork and Tommy the Knicks. I mean, the thing had broccoli rabe on it, roasted peppers. I roasted some long hots, peeled them, seeded them, worked them into the broccoli rabe. I kind of like my stuff mixed together instead of just layers of, you know, that way when you bite it, it all kind of holds together.
That's right.
That's a fantastic sandwich.
No
That's
question.
A South Philly classic.
Without and question.
Getting into the sandwich realm with Fran. Fran will come in and try pretty much whatever I'm throwing up on the Instagram. He has been he loves what I'm making,
That's
which
right.
is great. It's good to have a fan. I mean, I got a lot of fans in the building, but Fran is not so much a guinea pig, but he'll be like, you know, I saw this on Instagram, make it for me. And he went with the Carson Wentz sandwich. I think recently you tried the Jordan Matthews tuna
awesome.
Melt.
Yep.
I mean,
time.
The fact that people get so involved with what they love about food, especially about a good sandwich, because, I mean, at its core, a cheesesteak is a sandwich. But a sandwich is just so portable and so easy to just grab it and take it with you, whether it's a wrap, whether we got it on toast, whether we got it on a nice, really nice hard roll or a long steak roll. So I think the people that really love to eat will create a sandwich with me. And we haven't done that yet. So I want to know, would you be open to creating a sandwich that we would call, I want to call it the Duffy. but if you don't want your last name using that thing, we could just call it the Franwich. But whatever way you want
to
go with
it. I mean, Franwich might have a better ring to it, but this is a lot of pressure. I don't know if I'm ready for this.
You got to think about it.
I'll think this through.
You know? Breakfast, you're always getting a wrap. I know
yes.
I know. We got to wrap it up. I want to ask you a few more questions, but let me delve into breakfast for a minute, because I think we covered cheesesteak. I can talk to you about cheesesteak forever.
You know me. That's right.
Chicken cheesesteak, by the way?
Is it? I'll dive into that. Buffalo chicken cheesesteak or something like that. But
you have to add more flavor to it, whereas the beef is just main.
No question.
Cheese and meat.
And I will say this. Have you ever had mayo on a cheesesteak?
I have, and I will say this. Every now and then I get a craving to do it. Not all the time, but if I toast the roll,
yes,
then the mayo, and then fold the hot meat and cheese right into it.
If it is a pizza place where I'm in the mood for a cheesesteak, but I'm not close to one of like the go-to spots, I'll get mayo on the steak, and that helps to me like bring the flavor out a little
bit. That's a good tip, people. You know, if you're in an area where you may not trust the cheesesteak, but you know everybody's telling you, no, they make a good one here. Just get a little bit of
get a little
on
bit
there.
Of mayo on that.
Get
bad
a little
boy.
Bit of mayo. They'll fix it up. All right, let's jump into breakfast real quick.
Yes.
All right. 69% of Americans, according to an article I read in Time Magazine, 2017, say that eggs are their number one breakfast food choice. All right. We have a ton of choices in the cafe.
You do, yes.
All right. We can do omelets, we can do waffles, French toast, pancakes, wraps, breakfast sandwiches. They got a smoothie machine. They got tons of fruit. There's granola, there's oatmeal. What's your perfect breakfast, Frank?
So, you know, lately, I would say over the last year and a half, I've been going heavy to the smoothie bar, and it's been great. You guys do a great job over at the smoothie bar. The frozen fruit, going to the frozen fruit back in the summer was a game changer. So I go there, I would say, 3-4 times a week. But when I don't do that, I'm coming to you, and it's the perfect breakfast to me. See, like, I go back and forth on this because I'm a big fan of French toast, but if I'm going and you guys make a killer wrap, I go to you and it's scrambled eggs, sausage, mushrooms, probably peppers, and a little bit of hot sauce. Maybe that's some of that camo sauce that you got up on the bar there.
Hank's camouflage.
That's
right. It's good stuff.
That's probably the go. Like if I'm getting a sandwich, like that's probably the go-to.
That's the Fran Duffy breakfast sandwich, right?
That's
there.
That's it, right there.
Yep. I mean, to the point where if he's able when he comes in and I'm not that busy, I could probably remember,
you know,
and just, hook it up, you know. It all depends, though. When people visit that smoothie station first, there's a 50-50 shot they're not coming to me.
Right.
Depending on how much time they have and, you know, what they want to do with their morning. So, but, Fran usually comes over for that wrap. So I'll make it for you, man. Whenever.
That's a go-to.
What's the deal? I'm going to ask you this about breakfast, and then I'm going to let you go maybe with two more questions.
Okay.
Breakfast, I think, we're seeing in the last few years, all-day breakfast at a lot of different places. Do you find that breakfast has become like almost the ultimate comfort food?
Because
it's good late at night. It's good early in the morning. It's good for dinner. I know a lot of people love breakfast for dinner. I've even managed to throw out breakfast at lunchtime after you guys just had breakfast and you'll have it again. What's the deal with that? Why do you think everybody loves breakfast so much?
I think it is a comfort food. And, you know, like, to me, like, I think of growing up and when my parents would go away, you know, I remember my grandma would watch us when we were kids and waking up to the smell of, like, bacon and, you know, she would do scrambled eggs and bacon and stuff like that. Like, that to me, that's a memory that I have, a very distinct memory from childhood that, you know, it just makes you feel good. You know, bacon and eggs, like, it doesn't get better than bacon and eggs.
I'm with you on that.
And to me, like, even, like, any kind of sandwich, like, if you throw a fried egg on a sandwich, like, you've just made it exponentially better. Like, to me, if we're talking about making a sandwich later, I mean, we're going to have to throw a fried egg on
that. It has to be a fried egg
on
it. I agree. Does that transform that sandwich into a breakfast sandwich because there's an egg on it? Or does it just transform the sandwich into a better sandwich?
I think it just makes it a better sandwich. I don't know what – it would have to be – in order to be a breakfast sandwich, I think it almost has to be scrambled, right? Like,
it doesn't really have to be. It can be fried.
Yeah.
You can go either way on it. I tend to go fried where I'll, like, sear the meat right into the egg as it cooks and then melt the cheese. It all stays together that way, so when you bite it, you're not getting, like, layered effect.
Sure.
So I want to go on with this, but I know we can't. We may have to do another interview with Fran just because there's so much I want to get to. I'm going to hit you with our three questions.
Let's go.
All right. We've heard these before, so here we go. Favorite burger topping?
See, I'm a burger guy, and we could probably do another show just on burgers. I'm okay in the kitchen. My wife probably laughed at me saying I'm okay in the kitchen. I'm terrible in the kitchen. Get me on the grill, and I'm a little bit better. Yeah. And I do a lot of different burgers. My family loves the way I do burgers. My favorite burger topping, I'll just give you the combo. To me, it's mushrooms, barbecue sauce, tomato, and mayo with lettuce. It's a weird kind of combination. But to me, like, barbecue sauce, mushrooms, like, I'm I'm in on barbecue sauce and mushrooms. And it's a pepper jack cheese. I'm a big fan of pepper jack cheese on the burger. That's a go-to. Definitely cheese on the burger without question. But I go back and forth. Like, I can throw – I've got a bunch of different combinations that I kind of go back and forth with.
Yeah, but you're huge into the mushrooms, which means you dig the umami, like the earthiness of that type of flavor. Because I put it in your breakfast. You like it on your burger. We're going into pizza now. Do you like mushrooms on pizza?
I do like and you know what's funny? Growing up, I didn't like mushrooms at all. And when my wife and I first started dating, she was like, oh, you know, we get some stuff with mushrooms. And I was like, oh, sure, like I'll have some. Just, you know, we first started dating and I was like trying to impress her. Now I love mushrooms. I'll have mushrooms with pretty much anything. On pizza, though, I'll tell you what. I had one a few weeks ago and told you about it when I came in. First thing Monday morning, I said, hey, like, have you ever had hot honey on pizza? And I put hot honey on you went in the back. You came out with hot honey. We put it on the pepperoni pizza, and it was out of this world.
It transforms it, man. So,
like, to me, it's like pepperoni. I'm a big fan of peppers. To me, like, mushroom and peppers on pizza is great. I can, again, this is one thing where I can go a lot of different ways. I love white pizza.
Mm-hmm.
I can go a lot of different ways there.
So favorite topic.
I'll tell you what. Just to be safe, I would say like the go-to is probably pepperoni. That's probably the one where it's like, all right, that's an easy one. Because the thing is like I like sausage a lot, but people like to do like the crumbs of the sausage. Like to me, I like nice sliced sausage, like nice fresh sliced sausage. Like throw that on top. That's my go-to for sausage.
Not a lot of people will still do that. You see a lot more crumbled sausage, but like sliced Italian links.
That's it. That's where
pizza.
I'm at.
That's good stuff with little peppers, onions. I'm there.
That's it.
I'm there. My favorite pizza. I've never mentioned it before on the show. Pepperoni with mushrooms.
That's great.
At the same time.
That's awesome.
I have to order it for myself when I get it at home because nobody else will eat.
Nobody else likes it.
But that's great because then I get the whole pizza. So, all right, last question. Here we go.
Yeah.
What is the oddest food you've ever encountered in your life?
That I've ever encountered or I've ever eaten?
I would say if you're going to encounter something, you're probably going to eat it when it comes to food.
Adult version of me would agree with you. When I was a kid, I was not as adventurous with my palate. But one of the things now, like I love that, when we travel, like I try to get, so if I see something different on the menu, like I'm going to get it. I know we had a restaurant growing up that had like ostrich and stuff like that. And when I was a kid, I was like, oh, I'm never going to try that. And I never did. And I look back on that and I regret that. You know what I had recently? And again, different part of the country. So it's that when it's down there, like people don't look at it as a weird thing to eat. I just had rabbit for the first time. Loved it. It was like dark meat chicken. It was really, really good.
Yeah. It's once again, you toward the umami.
Yeah.
The more earthiness, a little bit more gamey. But it's got, when it's cooked properly, it's like a taste sensation, you know, dark meat chicken, the dark turkey. It's good flavors, man.
It was like it was rabbit with like dumplings and like a gravy. It was
almost
it was
like
outstanding.
A ragu.
Oh, it was outstanding.
I had something similar in Italy when I went. It was absolutely incredible.
Gator's great too. I'm a big fan of gator. Anytime I go like down south a little bit and there's gator on the menu, I'm getting gator.
And those are the two oddest things, rabbit and gator. Or?
I mean, shark. Like that's like that's they're not. It's not that extravagant. I'm
All right, so you'll you'll try anything is what you're saying.
I'm at this point in my life now where I've experienced life enough where I'm not afraid to say, if something's going to kill me, then, I've lived my life. I'm in pretty good shape.
What a way to go, though, You have an actual last meal. Like, what killed him? Dude, that burrito. But, man, what a burrito.
Yeah, exactly right. Seriously. That's kind of how the way I look at it now. Yeah. So I'm willing to try pretty much anything at this point, except for anything with pickles in it, and then I'm out. But
see, there's a food you hate, pickles.
Yeah, I'm out on
it. Is
anything
that anything pickled? Like no coleslaw, no.
Yep. If it's like the pickled red onions on stuff, then I'm out.
Knew this. Now this is good because I can develop the sandwich now.
Heavy vinegar based stuff. Like I'm usually out. Yeah.
It's no Carolina vinegar.
No,
stuff
not really.
For you. Okay, no mustard based barbecue or anything like that. All right, good to know. Good to know. It's been a pleasure having you here, man. Thank you so much. We could probably do another three shows.
I think so.
And anytime you are ready, I will be happy to have you back. The conversations I have with Fran in the cafe are exactly like this.
We could just record that.
Just record those. So, Fran Duffy, thank you so much for sitting down with us today on Feeding the Birds. It's been a pleasure.
I appreciate it, Tim. Thanks.
Fantastic time sitting down with Fran Duffy. That conversation could have went on forever. I don't know if it's going to turn into a cookbook eventually, because I got to create a sandwich for that guy. One of my favorite people that comes in the cafeteria, and we really bond over food. Please make sure you check out his two podcasts, Journey to the Draft and Eagle Eye in the Sky. Anywhere you find your podcast, you can find those for a real in-depth look at our Philadelphia Eagles. All right, so up next we have an interview with Stephanie Coppola. She joined the organization at the start of the 2018 season and has brought with her many ideas to help improve our Eagles fuel bar and the overall nutrition of our players. With that being said, let's just hear the interview with Stephanie.
So I'm sitting down with another person today that we really couldn't have done without this season at the Philadelphia Eagles. Miss Stephanie Coppola, welcome to the Feeding the Birds podcast. She is our Gatorade Sports Nutrition Immersion Program intern for the 2018-2019 football season. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me here today.
Thank you for coming in.
It's a pleasure.
Very happy to sit down with you. Tell me a little bit about this season. You came in after our Super Bowl season, and you started to work down at the fuel bar and get involved with the recovery of these guys, the nutrition of these guys. You know, first tell me how it all started for you when you got in here. What was some of the stuff you focused on?
Well, so when I first came in, I kind of wanted to change a few of the things up there, but I didn't want to just implement things that I thought that they would like. So I actually put a suggestion box out tried to get their feel of what they would want. And since they didn't know me, I didn't want to just go up and ask them straight up because they might not want to tell me. So I figured an anonymous suggestion box might be able to help. And so some of the suggestions that we got were more healthy fats. So we put some avocado cups in there. And we got a different thing of nuts for them. And then smart food was another option. So we have now three different flavors of smart food at the station. So trying to kind of incorporate what they wanted at the fuel station, but also something that would be helpful for their recovery.
All right, explain to us exactly what smart food is in case our listeners don't know.
Oh, so smart food is the popcorn. So we have a white cheddar popcorn.
Okay.
We have a kettle corn popcorn, and we have a sea salt popcorn. And so the guys, just based on what they like, can pick whichever one they would like.
And it's all, I mean, popcorn. Not a lot of people, when you hear about getting your grains, people don't automatically think popcorn. But it is a grain.
Mm-hmm.
It is whole grain. And based on how it's prepared, it can be very healthy for you.
Yep.
In limited quantities, I'm sure. So.
Exactly.
Because I kind of know that. I'm a popcorn nut. I love popcorn. So I do eat quite a bit of popcorn. And I like the smart food stuff, but I'm like the guy at the movie theater that gets the large, you know. So I wasn't ever taking popcorn in little bits, but I can see how it would be helpful to them in the small bags that we have. Is there any other thing at the fuel bar that they were really into? Some different types of things that maybe that you brought on that we really hadn't seen before?
So one thing that I did bring over, it's called Fuel for Fire. It's a product that it's two servings of fruit, different flavors in there, as well as some protein. So instead of having, and it's a pouch, it's kind of like baby food-ish texture because it's all ground up together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like the applesauces in the pouches, but it has protein. So we want to give them the carbohydrates as well as the protein in there. So some of the guys used it as before practice because it wasn't too heavy because it was that light texture, and then some of them just ate it as a snack throughout the day because it's easy, it's in a pouch, they can carry it with it, and they can shut it if they want to finish it later.
So that's pretty cool. I think Lane Johnson mentioned that in the interview that I did with him. He didn't know the name specifically, but he did talk to me about these protein pouches that they could kind of like, you eat them real fast, you could eat them slow, you could. That's pretty cool that they have that type of thing available. I know a lot of times when you think fuel bar nutrition, immediately you're thinking a smoothie or you're thinking literally a bar, like a granola bar or a protein bar or something like that. So it's interesting to see the different types of things that are available at the fuel bar. You are a registered dietitian. You have to be to get this internship, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you want to eventually move forward to doing some of that on your own, running your own program. So you have a passion for nutrition, and it's been really good these last few years with Leslie last year and yourself this year to just see so many talented, knowledgeable people come into that position and be able to really give these guys what they need. Before we started talking, you told me a little bit about a nutrition injury protocol that you started this year. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so in the beginning of the season, Mike had came up to me and said, I have a big project for you. And so I was really intrigued. And he said, I want to start putting together protocols for different injuries. And so when a player gets injured, we have certain supplements and protocols and foods that we would suggest for them to take to help recover maybe a little faster to get back to where they were before their injury. And so I put together protocols for people with concussions. I put together soft tissue injuries as well as immobilized injuries. So say someone tears their ACL and then they're in a brace and they can't walk or they're on a scooter for a little bit. So kind of what they would do in each one of those injuries and then different phases. So in the beginning, it might be inflammation that they're really dealing with. So what kind of supplements and foods to have or avoid that would help with the inflammation. And then after the inflammation's gone, how they can start rebuilding that. If it was a bone injury, rebuilding the bone, or if it was a soft tissue injury, how to have more collagen and soft tissue rebuild. And so kind of just going through the phases of each protocol to get back to where they were before their previous injury.
That's highly interesting to me because I see these guys get injured. You know, one day they're hobbling around, you know, waiting for the operation if it's like an ACL. Then you go get the ACL done, and then you're on a scooter with your leg up for a while. Then you eventually move to crutches. Then you got a walking cast. But during each period of recovery, including the initial injury, your nutrition needs are going to differ. So you guys actually having the forethought and to create that type of protocol, that's fantastic because at every single stage, not only are they going to get it at the fuel bar, but you have recommendations for them on what they eat in the cafeteria when they come in.
Exactly.
So and she's, you know, constantly in contact with James and Eric, who are in contact with myself and Chef Pee-wee, Matt and the other chefs. That we know when these guys are coming in, you know, they may want to have a whole bunch of pizza and stuff like that. But if you're coming back from an ACL, I don't think you need to eat a whole pizza every day. You should probably be focusing on what you need while you have the downtime before you're back on your feet. So
exactly.
That's great that you guys put that into practice.
Yeah, so each player, if it's a long-term injury, we'll put together a meal plan for them saying exactly at each meal what to focus on, protein, carbs, fruits, vegetables, fats, kind of putting it together for them. Not saying specifically you have to eat 2 pieces of chicken, but maybe have 8 ounces of some form of protein. And we go into that as well as with the rehab and the athletic training staff, we kind of clue them into it so they are aware as well and just a holistic approach to the athlete.
Thank you so much for delving into that with me, just so I could get like kind of a snapshot what our fuel bar was like, nutrition programs you and Mike Minnis developed this season. I think it's fantastic work you guys do down there. All right, so we're going to ask you a couple of questions. I want to talk to you about your background real quick, and then we're going to go into the 3 questions. And you're a listener of the podcast. You know the 3 questions. But Coppola, it's an Italian name.
Yes.
So you love Italian food.
I am 100% Italian, so I grew up eating a lot of Italian food.
Okay. And you told me your dad does a lot of the cooking, and one of the best things he makes, linguine with white clam sauce. Is that one of your favorites?
That is. Every time I go home, because I've been on my own in a different state for the past 7 years now, I always go home, and that's one thing that I do want him to cook for me.
And home for Stephanie is Boston.
Yes.
So she was in enemy territory last year. For us, but you know, I'm glad that you brought your skills down here to help these guys this year. So
I'm glad too.
And is there any other Italian foods that you just love that like maybe a guilty pleasure when you were growing up? Because you said dad did a lot of the cooking. I know you said mom cooks a little bit more now, but
honestly, my grandfather's chicken parm. And so every time I go to his house, we have the same meal. It doesn't matter if I'm going to his house 3 days in a row. Every time I want the same meal, it's the chicken parm. He makes his homemade gravy, so he has the meatballs in there. He does some pepperoni. He does some pork. So we have that, and then he always has fusilli pasta. He always tries to put raviolis, but I always want the fusilli pasta.
I'm gonna give your granddad credit because that is one really seriously hooked-up meal. He's got meatballs and pepperoni in the meat sauce. And that's going over the chicken parm.
Mm-hmm.
And then he still tried to add ravioli to it.
So, yes, he always asks what kind of pasta I want. And every time it's the exact same one. And I'm like, Papa, why do you even ask me? You know that this is what I want.
Because he wants you to eat the ravioli.
Every time.
Does he make the ravioli? Or?
No, he does not. But we have gone to my brother's and we have made homemade ravioli because growing up, that's what he did.
I do it occasionally. You know.
Yeah, so last summer we did that.
Yeah, it's fun to do it. Until you have to cook a lot of it, like if you have a huge family function coming and you have to make up a lot of ravioli. So it is fun. It is fun to make it. But then I got bogged down with my family where they're like, you should make your ravioli. And I was like, well, how many people? And they're like 50. And I'm like, no, because it's labor intensive, you know, but
yeah,
There's nothing like fresh pasta.
I know. I actually studied abroad in Italy 5 years ago, so we had a lot of good Italian food and homemade there. And I'm actually going back in 3 weeks.
Ooh, good for you. What part are you going to?
Rome.
Beautiful.
That's where I studied.
Beautiful. I was in Tuscany with my wife, and we had a blast. I never ate so good in my life. Fantastic times.
I can't wait.
All right, let's jump right in to the three questions. So I got to know. You know what these three questions are, so I'm going to just shout them out. Here we go. Favorite burger topping?
I like bacon and barbecue sauce.
I like it. That's good. No cheese, just bacon and
no,
barbecue?
No, I do like cheese. I like cheddar cheese, okay. But bacon and barbecue sauce and pickles, because I absolutely love pickles.
Pickles are great. I'm down. I'm down. What do you think of the new pickle bar we added at the
Deli? Oh, I love it. Every time I walk in there to grab something for the fuel bar, I always grab a pickle.
Right. I think we all should be grabbing pickles. I mean, the juice helps everybody. Can you tell me a little bit about pickle juice? It's always a question I have. I just want to, since you're here and you know nutrition, what's the deal with the pickle juice? Does it puts salt back into your system? Or?
Yep. So for when athletes are sweating, they lose electrolytes in their sweat.
Okay.
And so pickle juice has the sodium and the other electrolytes in there. So that just helps replenish it for them when they're losing it in their sweat.
And that's why the pickle juice is so good. So literally, like, there's days where I'm, like, dragging, and I don't want to have another coffee. I'm trying to get away from drinking so much coffee, and I have had a couple of the pickles from that pickle bar, and it peps me right up. So pickles are an amazing, amazing thing, people. All right, favorite pizza topping?
I'm kind of plain. I just like pepperoni.
That's it? Straight
yeah.
up?
Yeah. I don't know. I can't go too crazy with different things.
What do you think of the pizza here?
Oh, I love the pizza. That's another thing. When I come down, it'll be like 10:30 in the morning and I'm grabbing something for the fuel station and Muck is making the pizza and I'll just grab a slice. He knows I don't need a plate or anything. I just grab one slice and I eat it as I'm walking back down to the station.
There you go. He's always got it ready for you.
Mm-hmm.
That pizza station is a godsend. Everybody loves it. Some people love it a little too much. And like, why are you doing this to me? And I'm just like, you guys asked for it, you know?
Everything so, in moderation.
I love what Chef Charles does with that. Absolutely. All right, what is a food that you hate? Can't stand it.
A food that I hate. That's not actually the question I thought I was going to get. I thought it was going to be the weirdest thing I ate.
Oh, it's coming. Don't worry.
Oh, okay. Coming. Food that I hate. I'm not a fan of mayo. I don't.
No mayo.
No mayo. Just like egg salad or pasta salad and with mayo in it. It's just something about it just sounds so not appealing to me.
Because you know what's in it? Like you know the building blocks of mayo?
Yeah, I don't know what it is or just the look of it. I don't know. I can't do mayo. And if it's in something and I don't know, maybe I might be able to eat it. But okay. If I see like a glob of mayo on it, I will not eat
it's
it.
It's hard to sneak mayonnaise into something, but now we're going to try. No, I'm just kidding. I would never do that to you. All right. Now that you mentioned it, what is the weirdest food you've encountered in your life?
So I was thinking about this the other night when I was going to bed, trying to figure out what to say. And so I think there's maybe two things. So crickets and insects, I've eaten actually on multiple occasions. So
just in the backyard or?
Nope. No, so okay. One of my nutrition classes, mm-hmm. we had a fun teacher. So we used to try different foods and things like that. And so one day he fried up different insects and we ate it over rice. And so I did that. But then at NC State, which is where I went, once a year we would kind of have different insects in the dining hall. And we had them chocolate covered. We had it in pudding. We had it in brownies. All different kinds of desserts. And they just wanted to do it once a year to get people kind of outside of their norm. And so I tried it then as well. And they're crunchy. Some protein. I don't think I'd go in the backyard and eat any on my own.
No, I think they need to be cleaned and processed properly.
Yes.
For consumption, but
yeah. And then
it's cool that they would do that. It's very forward thinking on their part.
Yeah, and then I think one of the grossest things I've eaten / weirdest is my grandfather likes tripe, so cow intestines.
Right.
And one day we were out at Mother's Day, all of us cousins, and my grandfather got that, and him and my uncle are eating it. And so we're all like, that smells gross. And everyone's like, someone try it. So I decided to be the one to try it. And it tasted just as bad as it smelled. I don't think I will ever.
How was it prepared?
In a red sauce. And they were just sitting there.
Old school Italian.
Yeah, they were just sitting there and eating it, and it tasted so gross. So
I've only ever had it where it's diced up small and served in like Philadelphia pepper pot soup, where tripe is one of like the main proteins that's in there.
And I have to say, I didn't think it was that bad, but I could see if it's just like a nice big piece of it sitting in some red sauce.
Yep.
Nah, I wouldn't be there
either. That's how it came out. Literally by itself, big chunk of it on the plate with
Grandpa,
the sauce.
Grandpa just swears by it, huh?
Loves it.
Loves
mm-hmm.
it.
That's can't do
school.
It.
Grandpa's old school. I can't hang with you with the tripe, Grandpa. But I want that hooked up chicken parm because that sounds amazing.
Hey, I have actually his meatball recipe and his chicken parm and everything and his sauce I've made. And I've told James and Eric that I want to make it and I'll make it for you guys. And they have the recipe as well.
Oh,
so
let's do it.
Whenever one day we want to make Papa's meatballs and his sauce and his chicken parm, I'm down to make it. I actually made the sauce a few weeks ago for one of the football games.
I am down now because you have me thinking about it, and there's a lot of cold weather swirling around. So hot chicken parm sounds really good. That'll do it for us this time out. Thank you very much, Stephanie, for coming in for the interview.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I was really excited.
No problem.
That'll do it for us this time, fans, on Feeding the Birds. It's been a pleasure all season long to host this podcast as usual. I'd like to thank Fran Duffy, Stephanie Coppola, and every single guest that joined us this season. I also want to thank all you fans out there that are listening. If there's anything that you would like to hear on this podcast, please feel free to send me suggestions. Right to my Instagram, chef.tim.phl.eagles. Really love to hear from you. If you're looking for any recipes, too, I'd be happy to share them. That'll do it for us, this final episode of Feeding the Birds podcast this season. We will see you next season. And remember, we're going to take a step off the field and take a look at what's on the plate. Go Birds!